This is Mae Brussel, and this is the second part of World Watchers, in case you missed the beginning or the introduction. Program number 737, to number your tapes if you're recording off the air. And I'm talking about a company in Oakland called Advanced Genetic Sciences, and their intention to spray the fields with bacteria, living bacteria, in the Monterey County, North County, up near Castroville, part of Salinas and Monterey area, and the controversies involved. And in case you missed the first part of the program, I mentioned that last week the Board of Supervisors had a meeting about this hearing, and there'll be another public hearing January 27th, next Monday, and I'll be there all day. I'll be there. It starts at 9. I'll be at the Community Center in Salinas at 8 o'clock and hand out some information about our past track record, the Environmental Protection Agency, and how little it does actually protect us in some instances. And I did mention at the first part of this program, in case you missed it, that at the last meeting, 27 members of the West German Parliament, of the German Bundestag, sent wires to the Monterey County saying our health and environment must not be sacrificed to commercial interests who are eager to bring their new living engineered products to the marketplace. Now, these may be members of the Green Party that caught on to the spraying in Monterey County, but the Green Party is there to protect the environment and to see that the world is secure from these kinds of things and to take matters into their own hands, whereas we decide that the American Medical Association or the private industry that sponsors these things knows what they're doing. And time again, we've discovered that they were experimenting on humans, setting out sprays in subways outside of San Francisco on boats that drifted into the city and caused people to die and affect their lives in many ways that they weren't even aware of. So there have to be vigilant people, and even in Germany, they are watching Monterey County, asking that this spraying be stopped. Now, Jeremy Rifkin, who I mentioned before, wrote a book on this subject called Algeny, A-L-G-E-N-Y. I didn't hear about it until this past week, and of course I'll order it, and maybe you can locate it in your library. And he says this case is a landmark for biotechnological age, the case that's going to be tested here in Monterey County this next month. He said this is an insane experiment to carry out in the richest agricultural section of California, in California. It makes no sense at all. Now, the arguments of the various critics that I listed, and I hope they're not repetitive, are the following about why they don't want this project to proceed the way it is going. And then there are some very dangerous signs from quotations of the people in charge that they do have to be investigated further. The objections are these. One that was in the lawsuit, there were several stated clearly in the lawsuit, is that there has been no testing to show that the engineered bacteria will not spread beyond the selected test plot and supplant naturally occurring bacteria that do the job. Two, it will be a high risk if it takes place because bacteria has a small chance of going berserk, but if it does, it's uncontrollable. That is the other reason. If it does get out of control, it is out of the laboratory into the field and then spreads to the next field. The next argument against it is that the impact could range from increased damage to the myriad of plants of which the bacteria live to a potentially catastrophic reduction in worldwide rainfall. This is the name of the bacteria, the P. syringae, S-Y-R-I-N-G-A-E, the P, capital P, dash, syringae bacteria, and the frost that they attract have been found to be an important source of particles around which the water vapor condenses to form clouds and raindrops. The question of rainfall and bacteria are questions that are not being dealt with by the men who want to push this forward. There is no guarantee regarding that subject that the bacteria will not spread beyond its designated test site, and the side effects of the frost test are unknown factors that could affect rainfall patterns, since the organism is in its natural state, an important agent in cloud formation. this has been a problem, and there are few studies of frost ban. That is the name of the official operation, frost ban, that I cited before, that like the code name of it. These studies have not been completed, and the possible impact on the crops remains. The scientific evidence also shows that the bacteria could produce a high rate of speed when it's exposed to water. It would increase itself. So the studies released at the University of Wisconsin showed that rain can stimulate reproduction of the altered bacteria at a rate of 30 to 100 over a 24-hour period. So if it's put down there and the rain falls, the bacteria increases. Another objection, the opposition group asked that the further lab testing be done before it is put out in the open. One is that there's no testing to show that it will not spread, and the other is they should test it more in the labs before they put it out in the fields. Richard Nutter, one of the critics of this operation, said the close proximity to other properties subjects the whole project to too many unanswered questions and not enough tests done on the environment. Locally grown crops and nearby neighborhoods have not been considered in terms of the test if it spreads to these other fields. Another objection is the unknown effect and the release it could have on the entire ecosystem besides the water. Also, the land use regulations are necessary to protect the environment. We have land use regulations, which they obviously didn't consider. And the people doing this say we might have known the media would blow this out. But land use regulations protect environment, people, and neighboring properties from unknown hazards of this type in the future. And land use regulations did not apply. Next, the study goes on. The actual site of the bacteria is being closely guarded secret, which produces a problem. As I said, the county environmental health officer can't be there, and he does not know where the experiment is going to be. It's that secret. No site in the North County, he says, would be appropriate. They've designated a site, and he says, we don't want any of your sites. The North County is not isolated. As I said before, there are 30,000 people immediately around that area, and they're talking about spraying it in Castroville, where I said there were 66,000 people, but then the crops all around are important. And I mentioned the problem of the immune system and the infection that it could cause, or the danger to people with cancer or other sicknesses. And it just says other sick individuals. And I'm wondering if a person has the AIDS bacteria or the AIDS into their system but has not been diagnosed as AIDS yet, it would wipe out those people. Now, the local supervisors, several of them have had interviews in the newspapers. Mr. Petrovic said they ought to play Sorcerer's Apprentice someplace else. Others have said, don't put it anywhere. Get rid of the thing. What do we need it for? Another supervisor, Barbara Shipnuck, said this experiment is inappropriate in this county. It should be isolated away from people and away from these large crop areas, maybe where one family has raising strawberries or something like that, but that obviously isn't what they're going to do. Mark Del Piero, another supervisor, said, one of my extreme concerns is that the availability of information is nil. It's like pulling teeth to get information from the people that are doing that. And Karen Strassner Kaufman said the county should move to protect itself from being used as a guinea pig in the future. Sam Kara said, one thing that struck me about the company, the Advanced Genetic Sciences in Oakland, it seems to have forgotten the government is of and for the people. I felt very bad. I had to find out about this in the newspapers in his own county. And Glenn Church, the son of a former supervisor, Warren Church, said there are a lot of unanswered questions about frost ban. The real question is the right of a community to protect itself. And these are give you some more quotations from the supervisors. One said, if it is a pesticide, we don't have any jurisdiction, but we have a right to know. And he said genetic engineering might and will benefit society, but it must be tested under strict circumstances and not in well-populated areas. Another said, we have something here that obviously affects not only our county, but the world. That was Supervisor Petrovic from King City, who recognizes, as the members of the German Bundestag, that it might even affect them over in Germany. And he asked, what if it spreads to neighboring fields? Would it pose a risk to people living nearby? And Monterey County supervisors made it clear that they want advanced genetic scientists to take its living bacteria away from this strawberry patch somewhere else, or maybe not anywhere at all. And that's the essence of their opinion. Does it have to be anywhere at all? And another supervisor, Barbara Shipnick, again said, I'd like to see us do whatever we can to stop this experiment or relocate it. If we can't, we should make sure we're on top of controlling it. Now, Sam Farr is an assemblyman up in Sacramento who came out with an apology for this. It's very surprising. He's the only person who is recognizably supporting or giving a chance to it. He said his committee in Sacramento investigated the future use of genetic engineering and concluded that the federal regulatory process is adequate to safeguard the public, which I seriously doubt that it's adequate to safeguard the public, given their past track record. Sam Farr said a protocol was used to determine which state agency would have jurisdiction over various genetic engineering projects. Farr blamed the local officials of the state because they did not alert the local government in Monterey County or North County in Salinas about the proposed test place. They didn't tell them about it. It was approved by the state Food and Agriculture Department, but was not told to the local people that they were going to test this living bacteria. They failed to tell anyone on a local level while they were busy making sure everything was going to be okay. Now that is Sam Farr saying they were busy. They were so busy making the safeguards that they failed to tell us they were doing it. And I think he is stretching the point too much that they are honest people. I would reverse it and say maybe they weren't sure it was going to be okay, so that's why they didn't tell the local officials. There's a big difference there. He said that word got out that the spraying would take place and all hell broke loose. And I reword the problem for Sam Farr is that all hell is breaking loose because they didn't want us to know what they were doing. He said there's a lot of information about frost ban, but nobody asked for it until now. They didn't ask for it is that they weren't told about it. Now, a while back, I read an article with you or shared with you from Newsday. It was May the 11th, 1977, and it had to do with the Environmental Protection Agency, which is the same agency there is now, with not only figures and heads of states that have changed. And it had to do that certain Mexicans were picked for cancer experiments. And I might say that the fields of the artichoke fields, the lettuce, and the garlic and so forth is all done by Mexican-Americans, Chicano workers working out in the fields. They had picked Mexicans for cancer experiments because the United States subjects had moratoriums, so they were going to do it in Mexico. And the Environmental Protection Agency, this is in 1975, the same year that they wanted to do it in Salinas in Monterey County on potato crops, the men from Stanford University, they were going to use a hospital and locations in Mexico and United States taxes to pay $100,000. It was approved, and then attorney Jeffrey Howard got word of this and stopped the plan and called it inhumane and shocking. So at the last minute, the proposal was blocked because of one man described by Bob Wyrick in Newsday, and the Mexican officials had approved, and the test would be on thyroid, and they would give massive doses of cancer-causing fungicides to see what effect it would have on human thyroid. Now, I mention this because this is the same year they were going to do this in Monterey County. It's the same agency that approves of it now. The bacteria can affect the immune system, which is in the news, the AIDS and the possibility that homosexuals and blacks are singled out. And this would involve Mexican or Chicano farm workers or people nearby. And they were going to use chemicals known as EBDC and give them to human beings, feed them. But in this case, they could put it on leaves or plants. And this project was stopped. But that was the Environmental Protection Agency. That was United States tax dollars. And it was the year that it was going to happen here in the United States, in Monterey County, in Salinas, and North County here, by scientists at Stanford University. So Sam Farr, who's well-respected here, came out with this position They were so busy making it safe that they didn't have a chance to tell you what was going to happen while they did it. Now, that is a very poor excuse. I don't know if he realizes what he is saying or has studied it before. But the precautions of the spraying are interesting if it's going to be so safe. The problem and the way they're going to do it is very questionable about the process of the clothes, the protection, the masks, the rubber garments, the hoods, completely covered, every part of their body, and then the plan to blowtorch it as they put it away, this very small section, and it was to be isolated with a wall of earth around an area that nobody but they can see or use. Oh, the test, described as a 42-day experiment that was authorized by the federal government and state government, the actual test involves a 2.2-acre plot. The strawberry plants will be surrounded by 49-foot-wide soil buffer zone in the center of a 1-acre parcel, which they don't want to reveal the location. They don't want you to know about it, as I mentioned before. They said they don't want people who are operating on it to have a lot of people watching, and they don't want to reveal their trade secrets. This is part of the condition, that they don't have a lot of watching and that they don't give their secrets. Well, a lot of watching somebody spray a strawberry patch is not revealing secrets, or the result of the spray is not revealing secrets, but they don't want a lot of people watching, and they wouldn't have had any if they had been more honest about the effects of this. Now, in order to protect the workers, the sprayers will apply the spray while wearing full protective clothing, whole-body waterproof spray suits, hats, gloves, boots, goggles, and respirators, I guess like goggles for breathing, for respiration, for their own air as they spray it. And this will be very secretive, and the excuse is that the secrets would be revealed if a supervisor saw it sprayed. Hardly. Now, the company planning this, the Advanced Genetic Sciences out of Oakland, have several people who have been quoted in the newspaper who sound a little bit dangerous. One is Trevor Suslow, S-U-S-L-O-W, a director of research for Advanced Genetic Scientists. He says, "It is safe. We have conducted extensive tests for the past 3 years. It is bacteria safe." Douglas Stephen Cull, C-U-L-L, is the agent, the representative for Monterey County, who works for Advanced Genetic Scientists in Oakland. He lives in North County. He said that he's a plant pathologist. It was his decision to conduct the experiment in Monterey County. Now, that's a lot of power for a 32-year-old to say, we will use this fertile, wonderful agricultural area to do something that has never been done in the world before. He's doing it, he said, because of its proximity to Oakland headquarters, which isn't the closest place that frost comes to Oakland. And he said the local growers, two of them, have been working on the project with him, but we don't know who those local growers were. And I do know that two of the heads of the American Nazi Party, the one who calls himself the Fuhrer that I've had in the air, lives in Salinas, and he has many professions in this area. And I'm not saying they're linked to those kinds of people, but there's no proof that they're not. We haven't investigated two out of how many growers have approved. Mr. Cull said 98% of our effort will be in the monitoring of the activity of the imposed strain, not in checking the frost damage. So there's a little contradiction. On the one hand, they say the purpose of the test is to determine the effect of the spray on protecting it from early frost. On the other hand, 98% will be monitoring it on the strain and not in checking the frost damage. And he'll be working, Mr. Cull, with a half a dozen employees, six people, on the project. And he said, we have serious work to do. We don't want to be hecked or have tomatoes thrown at us. We're concerned about sabotage. We don't want people undermining our efforts to confine the bacteria to the test site by coming in and traipsing it around, which means that if anybody went there, it must be so highly infectious, if that's the right word to use with bacteria, that if you nosied around, it would jump to the next yard and then maybe jump all over the mountains and valleys and into the air and affect the rain and clouds. I don't like the press accounting of Mr. Cull saying we expected controversy from the fringes, but were surprised at the level of concern of more open-minded individuals. Like, there's always the nuts and kooks, but if you're open-minded, why would you object to the first testing happening in this area? He said, we should have anticipated the media was going to blow this up with phrases such as man-made bacteria. Given the nature of the media coverage, I guess we should have anticipated trouble. I know the posse comitatus in the far right wing and those that would experiment with anything or everybody use words of disdain to the media and don't appreciate the fact just he could have said, I'm sorry that we didn't tell the media what was happening and give them advance coverage so that they wouldn't be worried. He says, as long as the media is doing it, they're scaring you. He did say, in hindsight, as I say, given the nature of media coverage, I guess we should have anticipated this, the blow-up of this. He said his firm didn't employ a public relations consultant to help obtain public acceptance because having things filtered through a public relations person is not going to help us. Does he mean hiring a public relations firm? They may know what we're doing. The public relations, he says, couldn't help us. Well, it could help the people in Salinas, but it may not help him. He said, we have a communications problem, not a public relations problem. We can't compete in the headlines. It's easier to get people concerned than it is to reassure them. And I, as I say, I don't like those quotations of what he's saying. He's called as a plant pathologist, and he has an arrogance about, oh, those people are putting up a fuss. Now, as I say, there's two bacteria that are involved for you scientists out there, the Pseudomonas syringae, I spelt that for you, and the Pseudomonas fluorescens, F-L-U-O-R-E-S-C-E-N-S. Two bacteria are involved. They're going to spray the altered bacteria, genetically altered, on growing plants. This is the first time it has ever been done. They are going to colonize ahead of what they call wild bacteria, that's natural bacteria, and encourages frost formation. They're going to beat it to them. And these forms of the bacteria, they have the ability to produce a protein that promotes a formation of frost that damages plants that they want to reverse. And they're going to test it on strawberries and then make more food from the plant tissue because there won't be frost to destroy it. Now, the locals, as I say, are having a community meeting. You're all invited. The firm is the Advanced Genetic Scientists in Oakland, and it is a very serious problem that the locals, local officials, are now addressing themselves to. The state and federal have approved of it. The Environmental Protection Agency approved. The Department of Food and Agriculture, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, separate from the Food and Agriculture, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, and the National Institute of Health. I don't trust the National Institute of Health and their relationship to the virus AIDS, not the virus, the disease of AIDS. And these people have all approved. The local level, the Agricultural Commission, Richard Nutter, the County Planning Director, Robert Sliman, and various people concerned with air pollution control and the supervisors are now active in this, along with the county's environmental health director, Walter Wong, and concerned citizens who will attend the meeting. There were 150 last week at the meeting. I couldn't attend, but they will be there this week. Now, just a quick reference. In 1975, the same year that they were going, United States Department of Agriculture was going to test on thyroid and Mexicans. In this case, again, it would affect infected people, largely the Mexicans that work in the farms and in the fields with this material. The National Academy of Science had a meeting at Asilomar in California in Pacific Grove, not far off this area, right? Go down Highway 68 and it'll take you right through and up to the connecting roads. The controversy sparked when Nobel laureate microbiologist Paul Berg and three Stanford colleagues produced a moratorium that would last 2 years on research using viruses and bacteria that could, if escaped from the laboratory, seriously threaten human health. And again, the target this time is people with a weak defense system, immune system. These men, according to the newspaper article on the stopping of the testing, were not part of the problem at Stanford, but I am very suspicious of a great number of Stanford scientists. And it would be interesting to know what else went on at the meeting in Asilomar or if we could get the record of the meeting that sparked the controversy so that one lawyer in Mexico stopped the testing that was supposed to be done in this county. And in this case, there was a conference and they put a moratorium on it. So that is all I'll have on that subject for this week, but I will continue with it next week along with some other matters. Now, getting back to some more of the Martin Luther King celebration, or you can't call it a celebration. Well, it is that. It's a remembrance of his life, remembrance of a great person. We live vicariously through these people, whether it's Jesus or Moses or John Kennedy or Martin Luther King or Robert Kennedy, and we think of the good deeds they did, or Mahatma Gandhi, and we think of the martyrs and the people that gave their lives so that our lives would be better. And I wonder, outside of being advanced in certain comforts and medicines or prescriptions to prolong your life, and even that is getting very questionable, what that's turned into, how much do we actually live what they said, or do we take these holidays, Abraham Lincoln, to quote these people? And we don't care how many martyrs there are. The more religious, the nicer they are, the more they are aware of what's going on in the world, the more likely they will be targets, including John Lennon as one of them. And there is no statute of limitations on the investigation of murders. This was put into the court trials, the investigation of the murder of Robert Kennedy. J. Edgar Hoover put it in the Warren Commission hearings when he was being interrogated or interviewed by Representative Gerald Ford, who went on to be president. And in the case of Martin Luther King, a man has been tried and convicted. Also with Surian in the Robert Kennedy case. But according to the court papers, there is no statute of limitations that runs out in a murder. And yet, as I say, the people, the powers that be that like Martin Luther King, that appreciate what he did, that want their children to emulate him or their families to emulate him, are really saying if you emulate him, you'll be gunned down, and if you're gunned down, I don't care. Just remember he was there, take what he did, and he did a lot. And there were a lot of people killed, and there still are a lot of people being killed, and that's another thing that worries me. Now, on the Monterey Peninsula, there was a Martin Luther King's birthday today, a celebration, and the newspaper listed everything that was closed, the federal court offices, the state offices, the county courts, the city offices, the public transit was regular. Banks closed, post offices, everything. Then at the bottom it says, trash pickup, normal schedule. Now, trash pickup are the black men in our community. I don't know where you are or how your trash is picked up. One of the marches, one of the strikes, was for unions for trash collectors, for which Martin Luther King was murdered for just at the end of his life. He was representing these people. Here are people who could have a three-day holiday, the trash collectors, the black, predominantly black, in my community, and also down, I know two places where my hometown, Beverly Hills, and up here in Carmel, but in Manhattan, I see it's the same thing. The trash collectors work today, and the bankers have the day off for Martin Luther King. It is just preposterous. There's no way to express my feelings, my convoluted respect for King, and my anger for the people who do such stupid things. And finally, there's just a couple of articles in the paper, both the same day, January the 12th, 1986, King's holiday evoking a dream across America, and then next to it, assassination is the best tool against terror, according to the Israeli Prime Minister Shimon Peres. Now, J. Edgar Hoover worked with those people. He had documents on trying to make Martin Luther King a communist. He wasn't a communist. He had documents on his anger at the Vietnam War, and he was considered a threat to the country, a threat to the Pentagon, to the policies of the United States, a enemy against the United States by trying to say we bugged him because he was a communist. And still today, that many years later, 1986, the Israelis, one of our closest allies, say the best tool against terror is assassination. Our president, our State Department agrees, our Secretary of State agrees. And then, on the other side, the King holiday evoking a memory. The San Francisco Examiner, January 16th, had two articles side by side. The top story, bigotry in schools escalating, the official says. Hate crimes. They need police to teach cultural differences. Civil rights acts are being turned into local hate crimes. And down below, King's dream takes shape. Keeping King's Dream Alive, the Martin Luther King School. A black woman was sitting at her dining room table with her husband last week in Los Angeles. A bullet went through the window and shot her in the head and killed her. Just shot this woman like hunting seasons that the blacks are bragging about, not the blacks, Aryan nations are bragging about. They take her to the Martin Luther King Hospital where she dies. We're out of time now, so I'll say more about it later and more about Martin Luther King and the problems surrounding the image versus the reality. But in the meantime, this is Mae Brussel, and I'll be back with you next week. Take care. Thanks for all the articles and the books.